Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
I want to get, last night we touched on the hate speech laws, late last night, of course, because the bill was only passed late last night. So we didn't really get to talk about it very much. I think we only spoke to one caller. And I promised I would get back to it this evening, which I'm doing right now. And yesterday the Dáil, as I said, passed the Criminal Justice Incitement to Violence or Hatred and Hate Offences Bill 2022. Now, it was voted through by a majority, 78 to 52 in the Dáil last night with 30 no-shows. That surprises me, by the way. 30 no-shows. Micheál Martin wasn't even there from what I can see. Last September, Minister for Justice Helen McEntee confirmed she was not moving ahead with plans to introduce the new hate speech laws, but would press ahead with the hate crime element of the law. She said she was proceeding in this fashion because the incitement to hatred element of the bill does not have a consensus. Tonight in the Dáil, she said Ireland was one of the last countries to introduce hate crime legislation, or so to say last night. She added that no other justification or jurisdiction which had brought in such laws had defined hatred, because that was her defence, obviously, for everybody telling her, well, how do you do this when you can't define hatred? But there isn't some concerning factors in this legislation, even though it's not the actual hate speech legislation that everybody was anticipating. That's on the way, don't worry. So I want to know if you agree with the changes in the law. So the law basically says, right, in a kind of simplified term, that if two people are walking down the road and one person is assaulted and left with serious injuries, the perpetrator, say, might get 5 years. But if the victim is a minority or somebody who identifies as whatever type of gender, or is a member of the travelling community, or is a member of a minority, or is black, or is a different race, culture, creed, maybe Muslim, they are considered to be a protected characteristic. And therefore, the perpetrator might get 7 or 8 years. I'm assuming that's the way it will work. So, because the crime is motivated by hate. Now, to me, that doesn't seem fair, because according to the Constitution of Ireland, everybody is equal according to the Constitution, but this doesn't seem to be the case now. It seems that some victims are worth a little bit more than others. Or maybe that's much of my interpretation. You can challenge that. You're quite welcome to ring in and challenge that if you think I'm wrong. But I want to know what you think of this new legislation and what it will mean. I mean, do you think that crimes that are perpetrated because of hate should be given certainly more attention? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. One man who's been against the law and opposed it from the very, very start is Senator Ronan Mullen, who joins me on the line. Senator Mullen, hi, good afternoon to you. Good evening.
Thanks for bringing me on the show now.
Sorry, afternoon. I get confused from the daytime podcast and the nighttime
show.
Well,
it is still after the noon of the day. So
it is, yeah. you must be deeply disappointed that it was kind of rushed through before the government finished their term.
Yeah, this is one of these occasions, and they happen so often, when the government comes under pressure and pretends to do something. You know, so you may recall a number of us senators brought up arguments against the hate speech legislation in the Shannon and took it on much more toughly than the Dáil had done, to be frank. And there was lots of stuff. People like yourself were raising the issue and bringing it to light and bringing people, you know, on to talk about it. You had people like Elon Musk, you know, putting in their tuppence halfpenny worth, although he's worth a bit more than that, and various other.
Well, he described it as Orwellian laws. Yeah,
that's right. And because it came down to the idea that this, in situations where you're not defining hatred and where the minister is quite openly saying we're not defining it because we want to make sure we get enough prosecutions, and that's effectively what they said, and where you have all of these new protected sets of protected characteristics, and where, as I said, it went right into the area where the culture wars are going on around gender and all the arguments about what you can and cannot say in relation to gender, that this was a recipe for shutting people up, and that's what it was meant to be. And
just to come back to that briefly.
It was Orwellian.
Sorry to interrupt you, but just briefly to come back to what you said, you know, with defining the characteristics, and you talked about gender and culture wars. This is one of the things that you raised in the Shannon. So is this, and I think if I correctly, I don't want to misquote you, but is it the first time is that you said that gender as it is now, in other words, the way it's portrayed now as being anything you want to be, in other words, whatever you want to identify as, is that the first time this has been actually stated in statute books in Irish law?
Yes, gender in our law has always meant male or female. Now, in 2015, the Gender Recognition Act provided that a person could elect to have their preferred gender to be the opposite one to what they actually biologically are. So if you're a male person and you basically go through the procedures, you can have it, you know, by which I mean the paperwork and apply, that you can have expressed and accepted publicly as your preferred gender to be the other gender. But you still had the male-female binary. Now, what has been going on, of course, in recent years is a big battle to deny the idea that gender is binary, that it's male or female. You had the National Council for Curriculum Assessment pushing the idea that gender was a spectrum. A lot of controversy about that because of the impact that that can have in terms of confusing young people in schools. This stuff is not evidence-based or scientifically backed. So, but there is clearly an ideological lobby that wants to redefine gender. And this is why we got this word salad, to use a phrase that's become very popular, but a word salad definition of gender in the hate speech legislation, which still persists in this hate crimes legislation, which is to say that gender is the person's gender or...
Well, I'll quote it, okay. Section D of the legislation says gender means the gender of a person or the gender which a person expresses as the person's preferred gender or which the person identifies, and includes transgender and a gender other than those male and female.
Exactly. So, and my colleague Senator Sharon Keoghan read out a long list of, you know, crazy new claims about what different types of gender, and I can't put a number of it at this stage. I know that the now MEP Regina Doherty was, you know, really invited ridicule at some stage when she said there were, over in a speech in Scotland, that there were nine different genders. I
mean, nine is quite a specific number, isn't it? Yeah,
and they have all these kind of strange claims then that there's everything from kitty gender to, you know, it sounds like a kind of satirical program. Now, none of this is to diminish the suffering of people who have confusion around gender or who have gender identity issues. The support that they deserve and need is one thing, but the idea of turning reality on its head and pretending the things that are other than they are, that's not a good idea in society. It's certainly not a good idea where children's formation and development is concerned. And it's not a good idea when that leads to crazy situations like biological men who claim they are women being incarcerated alongside women as a danger to them, or indeed the invasion of women's spaces, or indeed the endangerment of women in sporting events where people who are biological males who are physically much stronger are unable to compete with them. And all because we're not allowed to say that if you're a man, you're really a man and you're not actually a woman. Now, so there are real practical consequences to this. This isn't some kind of a war over words.
But where this comes into the legislation, and let me just nail down the legislation. So the legislation is basically saying if two people are walking down the road and two people are assaulted in an equal manner and put in a bad way, the perpetrators of those crimes, if one is motivated by hate, i.e. if one is motivated with the fact that somebody might have a sexual orientation, a gender orientation, or be it a different race, colour, creed, Muslim, religion, whatever it happens to be, that person can then claim, well, this was perpetrated on motivated by hate, i.e. the person gets longer in jail. Is that the general consensus of this? Which in sense, to me, sounds like we're treating victims differently based on, you know, the reason why they were attacked.
Yeah, there's a number of different problems with this. First of all, by the way, what it actually means is that the maximum sentences increase where it is established in the case that there was a hate motivation based on the person having certain protected characteristics. It could be their religion, it could be their ethnic background, it could be their race, it could be their descent, but it could also be this kind of new definition of gender. So let's be clear, we're all against hate motivated crime. And to the extent that what's left in this bill at the moment is about, you know, how seriously we treat criminals, you could say that we wouldn't have a terrible lot of sympathy for anybody who's convicted for these crimes in the first place. The problem is, first of all, as you say, it does attack that idea that people are fundamentally equal in the law. There shouldn't be two categories of victim. If, as I said in the Shannon, if somebody is attacked, some child, let's say, is assaulted because, you know, somebody hates their father, you know, the impact on that child is every bit as real than if they are attacked because they are a member of a racial minority. Now, to be fair, the argument that the government made, I remember quizzing the Department of Justice officials about this more than a year ago, was if a person is a member of a particular ethnic group, say, in a particular community, and there's a series of attacks on them, that that could have a chilling effect on the whole community, of that whole minority community. I get that there's a certain validity to that argument, but I don't think it overcomes the problem. And the problem is, if you have two classes of victim, two levels of seriousness, same crime, but, you know, that from the beginning, in the eyes of the law, different levels of seriousness, I think that's bad for social solidarity.
But is it constitutionally sound, Roland? Because according to the Constitution, all citizens should be treated equally in the eyes of the law. So then is it constitutionally sound? I'm assuming the Attorney General has looked at it and looked over it. But in saying that, it doesn't sound to me very constitutionally sound.
Yeah, and I sometimes wonder, just because the Attorney General appears to give the go-ahead on something, or just because the government says they've got the go-ahead from the Attorney General. Remember what we saw in the recent referendums where, you know, the Attorney General had given advice that was quite different to what the government actually claimed in terms of the meaning and the impact that those wordings would have, as you may recall. So it's of course absolutely possible that the government could bring in legislation which, if it were tested in the courts, might turn out to be unconstitutional. And I would imagine, without having looked at it with a kind of a legal lenses on to any great degree at this point, that you could make that argument. How does this affect equality before the law? I mean, the point was also made in the Shannon, though, that, you know, they're finding it hard enough to provide prison places, that this might not amount to very much in these particular cases, because, okay, they're supposed to give them that there's maximum sentence permitted under the law, but the sentencing will and always should come down to the facts of a given case, which is what courts are supposed to do when they once the person has been proven guilty, they're supposed to take the surrounding circumstances into account and then apply that in terms of the sentence that they impose. And that would seem to me the more logical, sensible and equal way, so that the law is takes equally seriously the impact of the offence, no matter what the motivation behind it was. And the motivation then could be a factor that courts would take into account in sentencing. I think that's what should be happening. Because when you think about it, your state of mind is a very subjective thing as to whether, you know, let's say the state of mind that causes you to commit a crime. I think we should be addressing hatred and such states of mind that are problematic in our society. You address those through the education system. You address those through, you know, public messaging. You don't address them through changing the standards in the criminal law so that one citizen gets one level of protection and another person gets another. So I think you're absolutely right about the equality before the law thing. Mm-hmm. And there's another point that needs to be made here, though, because, as I said, the minister for the moment stripped out the incitement to hatred or violence part. So these protected characteristics, including this convoluted new definition of gender, that applies for the moment only in this law to the situation where hate crimes occur, things that are already crimes, criminal damage to persons or property, if motivated by hatred on grounds of these various types of protected characteristics. The problem with putting this, as you said, for the first time into statute law, this, as I say, word salad definition of gender, which departs from the idea that gender is male or female. It says gender is whatever you have in yourself. It's if you're neither male nor female. That is ideological. And that then has the potential to be pointed to and used in future pieces of law. And that's where I think the idea...
Okay, well, that brings me to the second part of the question. So where's the second part of the law? The second part of the law, of course, was the speech aspect element of the law. Mm. Now, I know there were parts removed from that. It was amended. Was that not put back through with this piece of legislation, or did the minister just focus on the crime aspect of the element of the legislation?
Correct. It was originally the incitement to violence or hatred, which is obviously about communications, behaviour, if you like, and then hate offences, which is what we call the hate crimes. So the minister basically took out the incitement to violence or hatred part and left in the hate crimes part. But she is saying that she will come back to it if re-elected to government. They haven't conceded the idea.
Well, they haven't conceded the idea because they know it was deeply unpopular anyway.
They do, but they might still try. Like, what we do have...
What happened to Sinn Féin? Because Sinn Féin voted against this last night, yet Sinn Féin voted for it going back a year and a bit, well, almost over a year ago now. They voted for it, and they were the ones who wanted it amended to put other characteristics, including asylum seekers and whatever else it was they wanted to put into it as well. So they did a bit of a U-turn on this last night.
They did. As with the referendum, Sinn Féin kind of got caught completely napping in that they didn't. They failed to provide opposition in the Dáil, which is the job you expect opposition to do, which is to put up all the arguments that can and should be made against laws so that every possible point of view is properly tested and heard. Sinn Féin failed that test completely in the Dáil. They also failed it on the referendums. Remember the referendums to get rid of the word mother?
Oh, yeah. They said they were going to rerun the referendum.
They were going to rerun it. So they were kind of in woke central at that point. And then when the opinion polls showed that the public had a very different attitude to all this and were getting impatient with this, politics, it's anything but bread and butter and dealing with the problems people have around health care, housing, education and many other issues. And instead, these kind of boutique ideological arguments. Now, just to say, by the way, on hate speech, we still have the 1989 incitement to hatred legislation. And that hasn't been a problem. The government...
No, there has been arrested. There have been people arrested. A 41-year-old man or whatever it was last week was only arrested.
It's a functioning law. And maybe it needs to be brought up to date to take account of digital media, the stuff that wasn't around in 1989. But it was open to the minister to introduce such amendments. And, they wouldn't have been opposed, provided there was clear definition. The problem is that now we're into this era where there seems to be a real attempt, including at the heart of government, to close down the free exchange of ideas.
They're saying they're only following Europe anyway, that the European Digital Treaty would be all part of this as well. And I know that Cynthia Murucu was talking about that when she was running for European election, that she was all behind that and she was going to make sure that was brought in Ireland. So they're only following Europe when it comes to this kind of idea of restricting speech. Now, the danger in restricting, there's always this argument whether, we should be allowed to just say whatever we want to say whenever we want to say it. And ultimately, you have to be responsible for what you say if you defame somebody, et cetera, or certainly if you incite violence against somebody, that should be certainly illegal. But the idea of, speech being inhibited in some way. Now, we don't have freedom of speech, contrary to popular belief. It's not in our constitution. We have freedom of expression, which is slightly different. We don't have the First Amendment in this country, sadly.
Yes.
Which is quite sad, actually. It would be nice if we had the freedom of speech. So where do we stand with this new hate speech bill? Do you think that the government, because let's be clear about it, Roland, you and I know and everybody else knows, the same government are going to be in power in January.
Yeah, we'll just have to see if they get re-elected it depends possibly on who they're depending on to prop them up. If, let's say, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael don't get there on their own. But and I'm quite open about it, I think people should be voting for politicians who are actually going to ask the hard questions of government and not just let them run away with whatever agenda is coming from Europe or wherever it is and rather unthinkingly pushing stuff through. I would like, I've been saying people like Aon Thuaidh, some of the strong independents, and if there are people in the mainstream parties who have shown themselves capable of standing up against the party whip on issues of conscience, those are the kind of people that you actually need to be the canaries in the coal mine in a situation where so many politicians all just seem to go to the one place where, they all basically go for strength in numbers, where whatever the mainstream media expects of them, and they pretend to consult with people, but they will legislate happily against people's best interests if they think they'll get away with it.
And it's only and keep their jobs.
There's a real squawking. Yeah. So there is a complacency about the political establishment that needs to be tested. And I, if, as seems likely, two out of the three big parties, the two Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, the two so-called centrist parties, but they're really centrist parties who have stolen the clothes of the left on more and more social issues in recent years, I would say. Mm-hmm. And they, maybe not in economics, but certainly in a range of social issues. There's too much groupthink. So we need,
You wouldn't be tempted to go back into the Dáil yourself, Ronan, no?
Well, I was never in the Dáil, and I suppose I'm very fortunate to have a perch in politics in the Shannon that allows me to contribute to debates on the National University of Ireland panel. I'm grateful to have been given that ground to be hurled. I'll certainly run again in the next Shannon election, which will come up in a matter of weeks as well, I expect. So grateful if there's any graduates listening to get their support. But someday, maybe, I suppose so. Right now, I value the platform that I have as an independent senator. But I have the height of respect for TDs, in the people of conscience and parties, the independents who do, who represent their people. I take somebody like Matthew McGrath, who's a really effective local constituency politician. But to be fair to the guy, and others like him, like Carol Nolan and Pather Tobin, they do the constituency work on the ground locally, but they also have a big picture about where they would like society to be going. You get the impression when you look at the dominant figures in our government that they're listening to their civil servants. Like, what do we need to do and say now, lads and ladies? You know, that there doesn't seem to be a kind of a driving vision that's built on a notion of the common good or a set of ideas and values. Now, they might disagree, and fine, I'll debate it any day of the week with them. But the way they have changed their minds and done complete U-turns and things over the years would suggest that they don't believe in very much.
By the way, just on a final note, are you concerned about the future of Ireland? Because it looks like we probably will have more or less the same government for the next 5 years. That, you know, I mean, because they don't seem to care too much what they're doing at the moment. So I think they believe they're a shoe in anyway, that's for sure. So are you concerned about the next 5 years in Ireland and the direction we're heading in, particularly when it comes to the chaos around healthcare, the cost of living, the immigration crisis? Nothing seems to be handled properly, and we seem to be wasting money as if it's, you know, just going out of fashion. It's like the amount of wastage is right up to silly little things like trays on bins. I mean, we just seem to be wasting taxpayers' money. I mean, does it concern you for the future? And even tonight I seen Justin Trudeau put out a tweet saying that Canada are halting immigration for a couple of years to control the rising population. Obviously referring to, you know, asylum seekers, refugees and all that kind of stuff, right? Justin Trudeau can say it because he's a lefty, he gets away with it. But if we say things like that, we're right-wing racists. Are you concerned about Ireland?
Well, I'm concerned about the world, first of all. It's a very dangerous, bleak kind of prospect when you look around at what's going on in Russia and the Ukraine, when you look at what's going on in the Middle East. I would just say, listen, you know, pray for peace is what I would say to people. That is a powerful and important thing to be done, and obviously work for it as well. When it comes into our own small country, like what type of, you know, in some ways our politicians do stuff very well in that they manage our economic best interest, they negotiate at kind of national and international and EU level, and they get deals done for Ireland. And so far it's been very good in terms of, you know, we're in a very healthy situation from a point of view of tax and so on. My concern is that that's not going to last forever. And I'm not sure whether they are being prudent now with an eye to managing things well in the future. You mentioned hospitals and healthcare. I mean, I don't know what I would do if I was Minister for Health. I have to be honest and say it's an extremely difficult situation. But I don't have confidence in the Minister for Health that there's actually any real vision. It's virtue signalling a lot of the time. You just get the impression that they're not thinking about how do we solve the health service for the good of the country over the next 10 years. Like, why did the children's hospital happen? Why people like Dr. Jimmy Sheehan were saying, don't build it there. Don't do this. Don't do that. And yet they did everything they shouldn't do. And we've this massive burgeoning bill. The bike shed is a very small symbol of the kind of...
Well, it is a symbol, isn't it? I know it's a drop in the ocean financially, but it's a symbol of lack of transparency and lack of accountability, isn't it?
And that sense that it's not our own personal shekels that we're spending, so it's somehow okay to bring in yet another consultant. You know, that there's that kind of attitude towards public money. I would say, and not everybody would agree with me, I think it's horrific that there's millions being spent on aborting so many children, that has corrupted our medical care system. I think it's appalling, the rising figures there, so much talent being lost to the nation, apart from the injustice of it. I would like to see us going in a different direction in society, where people would talk about community values, where we talk about living for each other, supporting each other, starting in our own local communities, and yes, being generous to the stranger, but putting first, of course, your first obligation being to your family and your community. You know, that kind of, I suppose it's a kind of a Christian democratic kind of program that looks outward to the world, but from a very rooted place. I think we don't have roots in our country right now. We've got lots of problems with people's sense of self-esteem. You have confusion in schools. You have a lot of violence. You have a coarsening of public discourse in terms of how people's attitudes to each other. So there's a lot there that's challenging. But having said that, I think it's a great country then in lots of ways. There are lots of traditions that are still very good.
Are we in danger of losing? Because people say to me all the time when they talk to me on the radio and on the podcast, and what they worry about is that we're in danger of losing our heritage, losing our identity. Is that a possibility, or is that, you know, just people looking at the dark side of everything?
I think it is a possibility. But everybody's different, you know. And I mean, this comes down to good and evil, in my view. And the line in between good and evil, as the Russian writer Solzhenitsyn said, you know, goes down to every human heart, you know. So we're all, you know, trying to live the best life we can. But there's this kind of grubby side in all of our natures that we always have to contend with. And I think you see a lot of that grubbiness in Irish society now. I just think if you look at our, you know, we've become a very sexualized society in lots of ways. We're a very alcoholized society. Like when you have politicians seriously, like when you have, Niall, people talking about doing drug testing at festivals to make sure that the illegal drugs that people are coming to consume are safe. You know, you kind of wonder, like, where are we going? Like,
I know, I do understand the principle. Yeah, I understand the principle behind that because, look, you know, which is the lesser of the two evils, people taking drugs or people dying. So I understand the principle behind it. But yes, I understand the point you're making. Why are we at the point where we have to do that in the first place?
And why aren't we doing massive education that says, you know, excuse my language now, but you are a selfish bastard if you are taking illegal drugs. You are contributing to the oppression of people in the developing world, people who are tortured and murdered so that you can have your drugs, so that you can have your fix. You know, and as a result of which fix, you will be less productive member of society. You will cost the health service. Your family is more likely to suffer. Your marriage is more likely to suffer. Your kids are more likely to suffer. Now, as against all of that, we need to be Christian about it. Maybe people sometimes turn to drugs because they can't cope with other problems that they're living with in society.
It's a crutch. Yeah.
Why is our society that way that people need that kind of crutch? So, like, I don't want to sound like I'm a kind of a moralizer because I'm a struggling person myself, but I would kind of say, can we get back to some kind of values where we kind of have some kind of higher sense of our existence as human beings and why we have a great dignity and why we should therefore try and live for other people? But as I said, I think it's a real simple symptom of the problem, as I say, where you have to say, yeah, it's not like I want people to, oh yeah, don't test their drugs or let if they die, it's their fault. But we shouldn't be put, the government and the people of Ireland shouldn't be put into that position by people who are holding down jobs and who are very privileged in lots of ways, going along to concerts and then thinking about consuming drugs quite selfishly.
Listen, we could talk for hours, Ronan, and it's been a pleasure talking to you once again. Thank you very much indeed. Ronan Mullins, Senator.
Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. There you go, Senator Ronan Mullins. Now, we started off, of course, we went into a lot of stuff there, but we were talking mainly about the hate crime legislation. And this is the DAW passed, the Criminal Justice Incitement to Violence or Hatred and Hate Offences Bill. Now, remember, of course, they took the speech element away from that. But the minister has said that they will bring it in. They are going to go back to it. It just won't be done this side of the election. They snuck in the rest of it. And the argument is, do we need it? Ronan Mullins believes not, that we can educate people around hatred and violence and all that kind of stuff. But to treat citizens in a two-tier justice system, essentially, that some people are worth more than others, he believes is wrong. I think it may be unconstitutional. That's not up to me to test out. That's up to somebody to test out in the Supreme or High Court. But I want to know if you agree with it. Now, the argument for it, of course, is that it creates a chilling effect. In other words, you know, if, for example, some members of the gay community are being attacked on a regular basis and people see that you get a longer sentence for attacking a gay person based on homophobia, that you may not want to do that in the future. That might not be an idea for you. Or the same goes for somebody who might be Muslim or somebody who might be a member of the travelling community or have a protected gender under the gender identity definition. And I do agree with Ronan Mullen. I think we go into a certainly risky area where we start characterising and changing the law in this country and the wording around the word gender. Because essentially what we're doing now is we're saying you can be any gender you want to legally under the statute book, which is not something that we ever considered or debated before. But anyway, let me get back to it. The point I'm asking is, do you believe that, you know, people should go to longer for jail for committing a crime motivated by hate? Let me go to Morris if I can first. Sorry, I'm going to come to Joe and Pauline as well. Morris, hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you doing?
Morris, I have to go to... Yeah. No, actually, I'll talk to you briefly before I go to the break and then I'll come to Joe and Pauline after the break. Go ahead, Morris, come.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking about the DAW last night. It was very shameful to see all the results that came out with the way people voted. Like I was saying to your researcher earlier on, like, you know, growing up, oh, I hate going to school, or I hate going to mass, or I hate doing have PE in school. You have to be very careful now what you're doing, because you could say something and someone say, oh, I find that offensive. You can go to jail for that, you know. So I think it's wrong. I think they're trying to protect us, but they're trying to wrap us up in cotton wool. But then again, you're afraid to open your mouth now in case you say the wrong thing.
Well, that would be the speech element of the bill, which they believe will be brought in as soon as they're re-elected again. But with the crime element of the bill, there has to be a crime. For this part of the bill, there has to be a crime committed. Now, mind you, the crime could be incitement. Under the current legislation of 1991, it could be, you know, incitement. Yeah. So, you know, you could say something online and that would be motivated by hate that would incite somebody to do something, according to them. And that
people would react to what they have online. And then, just to give you the classic example of people doing stuff online and other people getting into trouble or going crazy over it, those Tate brothers that were on, and young people were influenced by them.
Oh, gosh,
crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they are crazy. They are crazy.
That's the worst case scenario. But, like, the thing that really saddened me across what in England, this 61-year-old man who's in the same age bracket as you and me went to a protest and held up a placard, the guards, the police are corrupt, the ministers are corrupt, the courts are corrupt. And he got into a physical altercation.
Altercation
with somebody. And the judge gave him 2.5 years and he hung himself in jail last week.
Oh, no.
He killed himself. He hung himself. 61 years of age, a granddad. And there's rapists and murderers getting out of prison because Starmer wants to make room for these people that are full of hate. And one guy who was a serious criminal had a Rolls Royce roll up to the prison.
I saw that.
And take him home.
I saw that.
So did you not see the article about the 61-year-old man killed himself?
I didn't see the article about the man that killed him. That's horrendous.
It'll break your heart.
But you know what? I don't know what happened in the altercation, but all I would say is I see nothing wrong. If somebody wants to walk around town with a placard say the government are corrupt or the people are corrupt or anybody's as long as it's a private individual or a private company, because that's defamation, they should be entitled to do that. They might not be right. But we should have a level of expression that we're allowed to, as long as you're not inciting violence against an individual. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Exactly. He stood there with the placard. He was told to move. The policeman pushed off him. He pushed back. He was grabbed. He was brought to court. The judge gave him 2.5 years.
Wow.
And he hung himself last weekend in prison.
Well, shame on the judge. That's all I've got
to
say.
Exactly. And I don't want that happening here, Niall. But like I said to you, free speech. Irish people have to stand up and account for themselves. And the people that are poisoning us are in the Dáil. So please use your common sense and vote the people out who are bringing all this shit in. Imagine somebody that's a great-grandson of De Valera stood up in the Dáil and voted against the people of Ireland. What a shameful thing to do.
Morris, listen, thanks for that. I'm going to have to take a break. Joe and Pauline, I'll be with you straight after this couple-of-minute break. The number, by the way, is 087-188-0008. By the way, can we just point out as well, I would absolutely encourage everybody not to get involved in hatred, be it online or be it on the streets or whatever it is. And if you do want to protest, protest peacefully. Always do it peacefully. It's very important we say that, by the way, because nobody, Rona Mullen or myself or anybody else, would encourage people to be involved in hatred, racism, homophobia, or any of those kind of things that you shouldn't be involved in. But in saying that, should you go to jail, you know, based on the reason or the motivation for a crime? A crime is a crime. If you assault somebody, you should go to jail for a long, long time. But should it matter why you actually assaulted that person? If it was motivated by hate, do they believe you should get longer in jail? Because that essentially makes you believe that some people in society, or some victims in society, are worth less than others. Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. What I think is really sad, by the way, is that with the exception of ourselves, very few media are actually talking about this. This is part A of an important piece of legislation in Irish history. And for the first time, as Rona Mullen pointed out, Senator Rona Mullen, for the first time in Irish history, we've actually characterised gender as something other than male and female in our statute books. And going forward, that characteristic will now be used. Because if you look at the legislation from last night, it, for example, talks about ethnic minorities, and it says Sea Equality Act 1990, whatever it is. So in other words, it will be referred to. You know the way in courts they go, remember the Hobson versus Joyce case? In other words, it becomes part of our historic legislation. So that will remain part of legislation, which will always be referred to as the first time that was changed. So in every piece of legislation going forward, when we talk about gender as a characteristic, that line will always be used. And just, I'm going to read it out for you again, how they refer to gender. Now, gender in Irish law was always referred to as male and female. But according to the new legislation, gender in Section D means the gender of a person or the gender which a person expresses as the person's preferred gender or with which the person identifies, and includes transgender and a gender other than those male or female. And that can mean anything, by the way, because according to some scholars out there and academics, allegedly, there can be thousands of genders. I seen a gender the other day which was trans species. That's people who want to, you know, be identified as a different species, i.e. cat. You know, does this gender identity, does this part of Irish legislation include, you know, identifying as a pussycat? Because realistically it does, because it says any gender other than those of male and female. The word any is there. The person's preferred gender, what they want to express as. In other words, what we're doing is we're getting involved in an ideology or a culture war in our own piece of legislation. And that's what Ronan Mullen is concerned about. And that's one of the concerns he has. But as I said, we spoke to Matthew McGrath straight after it last night. And again, we spoke to Senator Ronan Mullen tonight. And we're taking your thoughts and views because that's what we like to do. We like to let you have your opinion on what's going on in this country. Joe, hi, how are you doing?
Oh, not too bad, Niall. Just before I just ask you a question there, I just want to find out there, there's a video going around there last week. If you saw it in the Shannon, where they were all laughing and joking and eating sweets after they passing this
bill. Oh,
that's
right, yeah.
And Ronan Mullen is in the shot. Now, I don't know whether he was
handing out the sweets, I think, actually.
Yeah. Now, I'm just only asking because there's a lot of rumours going around. He voted for it, and I'm just a bit confused.
No, he didn't. No, Ronan Mullen doesn't vote. He's not in the Dáil.
Right.
He's in the Shannon, so he just debates it. By the way, there was a lot made of that video. It wasn't such a big deal. It was just, it just happens to be that they constantly televise it all the time. It's constantly being recorded. And it was just, it was just after they had finished debating and everything else. And he happened to have a bag of sweets or a box of sweets and he just offered everybody a sweet. He's just been polite.
When I got a lecture about it last Saturday from a friend of mine.
That was
very upset about it. And look, I didn't know. So look, I understand. That's fair enough. And
let me give an example of that, right? I was on a debate on RTE during the European legislation with Eoin O'Riordan and all the other politicians. And five other politicians, Barry Andrews and a few others, right? After the debate is over, we went outside into the green room. We were all laughing. Somebody had a few sweets and said, does anybody want one? And we were kind of laughing and joking and you know. But when we were on the radio, obviously, we were debating things in a serious fashion. Now, the only ones that I didn't have any communications with were Sinn Féin.
Yeah.
For some reason, they didn't want to talk to me at all. But everybody else was really polite to each other. Barry Andrews, as soon as he walked out, even though I just argued with him for 5 minutes, shook my hand. As did Eoin O'Riordan, and I don't have a lot of fondness for the man, but he still shook my hand. So I should have got a photograph of that. What I'm saying is that people, even though they have a job to do, which is debate against each other, you know, which is part of what they do for a living and a job, and they're doing it on behalf of the people, you know, when there's downtime, there's nothing wrong with handing out, you know, offering people a sweet. You know what I mean? There was a huge amount made that I can tell you now, Senator Ronan Mullins is one of the most dedicated senators in the Shannon.
I totally would agree with you. Yeah, I've listened to Ronan there for many, many years, and he is a very good speaker, but sadly he doesn't get the same airtime from the mainstream media.
No, he doesn't.
Thankfully he gets it from yourself. But, sorry, Niall, getting back to the last night. Last night was a very, very dark night, a very dark day. For Irish society and Irish politics in general, when you had only 7 or 8 TDs in the Dáil voting on something which doesn't make any sense or meaning.
Well, now the 7 or 8 were only there when they were given the opposing debate to the minister. But when the vote came later on, 30 of them didn't show up. And I think, you know, so when the vote actually came, they were all out, maybe, I don't know, in the bar or in their offices or wherever they were.
They're banging coke up their nose.
I certainly hope not, Joe. but they weren't doing that. They were all out, maybe, I don't know, maybe in the bar or they were having a chat or something. And they came in for the vote. That was quite disappointing, by the way. Not all of them. Some of them were in there for the opposing debate. So there was about 8 or 9 of them in there, including Healy Ray, Matthew McGrath.
I saw him.
I think Pádraig Tobin was there probably as well. Yeah. So there was a few of them there. But anyway, the point you want to make, you're disappointed, yeah?
Well, I am disappointed, Niall, as an Irish patriot, an Irish citizen. And as, you know, I think we are going down the very slippery road of destruction in this country. And I think that, you know, McEntee, you know, the sooner that somebody really gets rid of her completely, the better. I don't mean...
You mean out of her job, obviously. You believe she needs to resign, obviously.
That's, because she's a liability. Mm. Like herself and Simon Harris, they have created carnage in the last couple of months here.
Well, they're not on their own. They're part of a government, and you're obviously not fond of them. Yeah.
I'm not fond of them. I'm not fond of any government. But I'm just saying, like, that we are going down a slippery road. And, like, why should certain of these groups get priority over the likes of you and me? Say, if I got the head beaten off me tomorrow and I reported it to the guards, there's probably a likelihood I'd be probably treated with less respect than another group who would get probably more respect. And that's what really angers me.
Well, I do agree with that aspect. That was the point that Ronan Mullen was making, and many people, by the way, made about the legislation, that is, it becomes a two-tier law. In other words, when a crime is motivated by hate, the perpetrator gets more jail time than the crime not motivated by hate, which means that victims, in turn, become less valuable, depending on who they are.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And I'm just going to stay there now to you as well, Niall. I'll be going when the election comes next month. I'll be voting for All Independence.
That's your democratic right to do that, Joe. If you want,
you know. And I'm not going to support any government parties because I just don't believe anymore. I think we've been, and I don't look. I don't want to be going down a sad road, but we're being lied to in the last couple of years, Niall, and that's the sad thing about it. We're eating up everything they're giving us. And you saw it there even with RT now last night. Not a mention about it. Not a mention. And
well, it did. Now, to be fair, it was on RT News online when it wasn't on some of the other sites.
I didn't see it online. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Niall. Yeah. But a lot of people don't even know this bill was passed last night. And this is the worrying thing about it. So, like, there's going to be people around now. Say the weekend now, you have the bank holiday weekend. There's a lot of people going to be around. Here in Cork now, you have the Jazz Festival on. You're going to have different groups coming around. And there's going to be a lot of hassle. And if, like, somebody just goes up and says to a certain fella, you're such a person. Now, I don't agree with violence, but just say somebody attacks another fella and that fella person gets arrested and then he's given 5 years in jail. You know, this is where I'm very angry about. Like,
I'm angry about that too. But in saying that, nobody should be attacking anybody. And anybody who does attack somebody, you know, for no reason at all, no matter whether it's perpetrated by hate, should get 5 years
in jail.
Of course,
yeah.
Yeah. But they shouldn't get, as far as I'm concerned, they shouldn't get any more time in jail, no matter what the motivation for the crime is. But yeah, I get the point you're making, Joe. And I don't think it'll be bad. Look, it has to go to the president, obviously, to be signed. Although that could happen very quickly. I'm not too sure how quickly that'll happen. Maybe not by the weekend. Thank you, Joe. Let me go to Pauline. Pauline, hi, how are you?
I know, yeah, people don't realise the implications of this, they really don't, and that is those who are even aware of it. This is serious, and we are going to have to do something about it. In the first place, what I would call it is the Irish will shut their mouths and do what they're told and put up with what's been dealt to them, and this is only the beginning. And the police force who will enforce it will not always be of an Irish background. Just let me just say that to begin with.
Can I point out, by the way, the speech element of the legislation hasn't been brought in yet?
They're not yet, but they're on their way. You see, I said this to you a couple of weeks ago. This is the government in this country are not governing the country. The country is being governed by the EU. And the people who, like Varadkar, and what's the guy now who came out of school and straight into government?
Simon Harris, yeah. He's the Taoiseach, the guy, yeah.
They are placed strategically by the EU to implement their directives.
Well, now, hold on. With the greatest of respect, Simon Harris is not placed by the EU. Simon Harris was voted for in his own constituency.
He wasn't elected.
He was elected. He was elected to Fine Gael. And then within Fine Gael, we give the government a mandate to select a leader. That's always the way politics operates.
Right, but he was nominated.
Yeah, but that's entirely up to Fine Gael to do that. We have no choice in that matter. We never did. Our job is to elect a government, and our job is to elect politicians, and we give them a mandate to choose their own leader. That's the way it works.
The man who was on just before you, we have to get these parties out because this is only the beginning. Like I said, we didn't elect them.
We did elect them.
Leo Varadkar was put in place. That was the beginning of the end.
Hold on, we didn't, look, when you say we didn't elect them, we didn't elect Leo Varadkar, we didn't elect Micheál Martin, we didn't elect Simon Harris as leaders, but we did elect the parties and we elected them as individuals to be TDs.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, we need to unelect the parties, let me just put it that way, so we can cover a multitude in saying that. The thing is, people don't actually realise the implications of this. I don't know, I've been looking all day, trying to find a proper interpretation or explanation or
what part of it are you confused by? And I'll explain it if you like, or I'll try my best.
I'm not confused. I'm trying to find the definition of the word treason because that is what I believe.
No, you the definition of the word treason. Where are we going down the road of treason?
I don't think so because we've been sold out by our government to the EU
Okay, well, now, Pauline, with the greatest respect, again, and I'm not defending the government, you know me, I never defend the government, but in saying that, when you say we're going down the road of being run by the EU, I absolutely agree. 80% of our legislation comes from the European Union, but again, what I will point back to is in the Lisbon Treaty, we voted for that.
Yeah, and what I'm saying, we shouldn't have ever joined the EU.
We did.
Yeah.
We did.
My point is where this is going. This is not what the Irish people want. And yet they went ahead, and she even put herself at the top of the party yesterday after this. It's absolutely imperative that we get these parties out.
Okay, well, your opportunity to do will do that will be in the within the next month, most likely. That's when the next election will be. It'll probably be called in the next few days, I imagine, or certainly the next week anyway, and most likely either the end of November or the very start of December. So that'll be your opportunity then, Pauline. Unfortunately, I don't have a huge amount of time, and I have to get to Jerry and Helen as well just before I go to the break. Jerry, hi, how are you?
Not too bad at all. Yeah, I'm a bit confused myself about the legislation, because if I say something and particularly concerned about the gender issue, if I say something about the gender, call them a pervert or a particular type of gender. Obviously, not talking about gay or lesbian, but if a man.
Okay, yeah, I get the point you're making, but go on. If you say something about a gender, what you're wondering what will happen to you?
Yeah, well, I know that's part of the speech thing, but if I say something like that and somebody says, Jerry's right, and goes out and smacks up somebody pretending to be a cat, am I responsible for that?
Well, here's the thing. Firstly, you probably shouldn't be inciting any kind of violence against anybody, but if you name a specific person and refer to them in such a way that it encourages others to do some harm to them, under the current legislation from 1991, it is incitement to violence anyway. So, but under this piece of legislation, which could be used now as well, that was passed last night, that crime would be perpetrated by hate and motivated by hate. It could mean that you could go to jail for longer. Yes.
So if somebody says to me that they're an ex-gender, they're not male, female, they're XCY or something, and I'd say to them, point out, no, you're not. There's two, and they can prove that scientifically, as you well know. Scientifically, there's only two genders. There's no other questions.
Okay, and that's your feeling, and some people might have a different feeling, and that's fine, yeah? Okay.
No, that's not a feeling, though.
I'm just saying other people will argue with that opinion. I wouldn't.
But what I'm saying, if that went to court of law, you can prove it. There's only two genders. So if that went to court of law, you can prove that. Okay, the Jewish law, I've just made fools.
Well, I'm going to say to you, because obviously I have to remain impartial, they will argue that there wouldn't be. And look, that's neither here nor there. The point of the matter is, yes, at this moment in time, you have the freedom to say that online. There is no law against that currently at this moment in time. But when the speech element comes into that, I don't know what they define as hatred when it comes to speech, because the minister doesn't even know what she defines as hatred. So you could be on dangerous ground when the speech element comes in, but that's not here yet.
So I know that's not there yet at the moment. And the other thing, I mean, I Googled this all day as well. I couldn't find out. I tried to find out who the 32 TDs that didn't turn up.
There's a list of them online. I had a list of it earlier. I'm not going to name them all here now.
No, it's grand, though. I couldn't find them. I went on Google and said...
If you go onto Twitter there, I saw a list. Some people have put it up on Twitter. Yeah, there was 30. And somebody put the list up on Twitter of the 30 TDs. Micheál Martin, I think, was one of them, who didn't turn up or didn't show up for the debate. Some might have had genuine reasons. Others may not have had quite so genuine reasons, just didn't bother. Okay, Jerry, sorry about that. I've got to go to Helen very quickly. I've got 1 minute, Helen. I do apologise.
Oh, no problem. Only 1 minute. Oh, that's not long enough for me. How are you?
I knew you were going to do that little laugh. You'd be great at Halloween.
How are you, Jimmy?
Okay, Helen, do you agree with this legislation? Yes or no?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm sorry now. I'm just going to say this quick. I'm just back from Tenerife. I was away from the last time. I know.
It was a full moon out.
Yeah.
Did you have a good? Did you come out to tell me that? Did you have a good time?
Ah, with a ball. Would you believe? Four children, and my ex-husband.
Right. I'm delighted.
It's only me now.
Oh, Helen, you always give me a laugh when you come on. you have a very infectious laugh.
But it's the truth. I can't lie. It's the truth now. So I missed all this time.
So you have no idea what we're actually talking about.
random.
LG.
Do you know what? The laughter's the best minutes of night. No matter what they say. But as I say, so I'm a bit I'm a bit and
oh, Helen, I have, Helen, I have to go to the news. It's lovely talking to you.
I told you we needed more than a minute.
Helen, I'm glad you had a good time, and it's lovely talking to you again, Helen.
Thank you, Nigel.
See you, bye. Bye, bye. Oh, Jesus Christ, what the hell is going on? It's like a full moon out.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.